It's that time.
Time.
Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
It's Charlie from Blackberry Smoke. I can feel a good one coming on. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the Friday drive home.
2 6 packs of shiners, 99 cent butane lighter, Lucky Strikes, and a fifth of Patron. Ice down that igloo cooler. Tank of gas at all the doer. I can feel a good one coming on. Throw in Ray Wiley Hubbard. Sing along to Redneck Mother. Any blues I had before are gone. Another working week is over. No chance of staying sober. I can feel a good one coming on. Top Mustang followed us down to
I
the
told
lake.
The story earlier this week, but have to think about 2 days ago was the 1 year anniversary since my brother Chris, the officer, died way too young at 54 unexpectedly. And I told the story that he would tell people that he was the unpaid producer of the Michael Berry Show. Everybody else gets paid, but he didn't. Because he's constantly sending me ideas, and I never gave him credit. Which is true. But that, I'm first one to admit it. If I credited every idea I get for what we do, then I'd be spending all my time with attributions and footnotes, and I'd have to give a bibliography and the whole deal. And even just hearing the word bibliography probably sent some of you back to that sophomore year and the stress that it caused. Woo, man. And for those of you just a touch older than me, you remember, you know, later the computer, you would put the footnote in there, and then you'd write out the footnote, and when you changed it, it would change it for you. But when I started writing papers in middle school, we didn't have that. We had the entry level of the word processor. But mostly we just used a typewriter. You look at a typewriter today. How long has it been since you've seen a typewriter? Just think about this for a moment. The only way you've seen a typewriter is if you work at a company that fills out forms, old school company, and has to fill out invoices or some sort of accounts receivable, accounts payable, some sort of a document. And you still have an old typewriter, and somebody pulls it out and puts the document in there. But that's how we wrote our entire paper back in the day. That was something else right there. That was something else right there. I do want to get to one thing that will be on the show today. This is, to me, my favorite story of the week. Those of you who remember boxing or love boxing will remember that Mike Tyson famously said, everybody has a plan until they're punched in the mouth. Because he's fighting. I can't remember who he was fighting, but this guy had this plan. I got a plan. I'm going to beat Tyson. I got a plan. And they asked him afterwards, what do you think about the plan? He said, yeah, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Well, the mayor of New York had a plan for illegal immigration. He was on ABC back in September when he was asked about New York being a sanctuary city. And, oh, he was happy to tell that he's a sanctuary city. He's a big-hearted man, a good man. New York, they're a sanctuary city.
You pledged during your campaign to keep New York City a sanctuary city. Do you have any concern that policy is attracting more people to the border, more people to cross the border to make that dangerous trip?
No, not at all. This city has always been a sanctuary city, and we've always managed those who wanted to come to New York City to pursue the American dream.
Oh, okay. We've always been a sanctuary city, and that ain't changing. New York can handle it. And he was strutting around before we sent him all those illegal aliens. Oh, he was walking around. Any of y'all remember the Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder movies? They were actually pretty darn good. You remember the movie Stir Crazy? Oh, man, they were being led into jail, and they had been told, you better act tough or you'll get picked on and they'll drop the soap and you'll have to pick it up. So they're being led into jail, and they trying to act tough. We bad. We bad. They strutting like they're from the streets. We bad. We bad.
What are you doing?
I'm getting bad. Better get bad, Jack, because you ain't bad. You're going to get You bad. They don't mess with you. Yeah. Hey, home. Get down.
Hey.
You a little too bad, ain't you?
Yeah. Do some of these.
Right on.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. We bad. That's right. You don't want no shit either.
That's right.
Darn right.
We don't want no.
You know what I'm saying? We don't take too much. Take a little bit. We don't take no bunch.
Damn right.
That's right. Say no.
No.
That's right. No. No.
I'm trying again. We don't take no.
Give me a light.
He wants a light.
Right on.
Yeah, so they were real tough. Eric Adams was real tough till he got punched in the mouth and we sent him the illegal aliens. Here he was on Morning Joe talking about it's unfair.
Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us. How serious is the crisis at the border, and what pressures are putting on you as a mayor of New York City?
Well, I believe that when I took the trip to the El Paso, you could see firsthand the impact of how it not only harmed the foundation of El Paso, but look at Chicago, Houston, Washington, New York City. This is just unfair for cities to carry the weight of a national problem. We're going to open four more hotels, emergency hotels. We have to open HERCs. This is a major financial impact on New York City and cities across this country that are receiving a brunt of it.
What have you said to White House officials about the importance of bringing more order to the border?
In coordination, I was told that we have an individual that's coordinating the operation. And as I shared with White House officials, why don't I know who that is? It's about having a real decompression strategy, looking at who's coming in and ensuring that it is really burdened by the entire country, not just a few cities. And just the pathway continues to lead to New York. We have to have a real comprehensive immigration policies. And I think that the Republicans have blocked it for many years. We have to come to the table to do so. But that's the long-term plan. What's the short-term plan? If my house is burning, I don't want to hear about fire prevention. Let's put out the fire. And the fire right now is the overproliferation of migrant and asylum seekers in several cities in the country.
Ladies, make yourself useful and grab your fella or girlfriend a beer. Pop and Top is right around the corner on the Friday Drive Home edition of The Michael Berry Show.
Well, it's Friday evening, 6 o'clock, and all my friends are twisting off. I'm at the house just turning on TV. Well, they all wonder why I've changed. How many times must I explain? It's basic honky-tonk anatomy. The drinking bone's connected to the party bone. The party bone's connected to the staying out all night long. And she won't think it's funny, and I wind up all alone. And the lonely bone's connected to the drinking bone. Hey, 2 plus 2 is always 4, and down is south and up is north. 32 degrees is freezing cold. You play with fire, you wind up burn. The early bird gets the worm. But the only thing you really need to know is the drinking bone connected to the
show.
This has been a week of classified documents.
Connected to the body bone.
And it just proves that a lot of people are asleep at the wheel. They're chasing down the January 6th protesters, little old ladies who ambled through the Capitol. While you've got Joe Biden stealing national secrets and moving them around constantly. But we have no time for any of that because we're harassing the MAGA Republicans. There's only so much bandwidth. Well, I guarantee you there's some classified documents laying around at Kamala's private residence. I guarantee you there are.
Meanwhile, at Kamala Harris's house.
Honey, do you know where the matches are?
Next to the stove, Kamala.
Thanks.
What are you doing in there?
Nothing. Just burning classified documents.
Oh, okay. So, what do you want to do for dinner?
Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. I like to duck a water bottle for money.
The Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee had a meeting recently. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? The Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. This little soiree is an annual meeting held by the FDA where they like to get advice from experts that work outside of the agency. Included in the meeting was the director of the CDC Vaccine Task Force, Tom Shimabukuro. Tom said something that was unexpected, but what he said is not a surprise. No, that he said it at all is the surprise. So what did he say? Tom said that the CDC is aware that the COVID vaccines are causing debilitating illnesses.
We take vaccine safety very seriously. With respect to reports of people experiencing debilitating illnesses, I mean, we are aware of these reports of people experiencing long-lasting health problems following COVID vaccination. In some cases, the clinical presentation of people suffering these health problems is variable, and no specific medical cause for the symptoms have been found. We understand that illness is disruptive and stressful, especially under those circumstances, and we acknowledge these health problems have substantially impacted the quality of life for people and have also affected those around them, and we hope for improvement and recovery. And we will continue to monitor the safety of these vaccines and work with partners to try to better understand these types of adverse events.
Do you realize how many people have died? And at least some of them, not from COVID, but from taking a shot that they believed would keep them from getting COVID, when they very likely would have survived COVID anyway. We've all known this was the case. And now the CDC is the last one coming out and going, yeah, we know. This is why I call it the clot shot. Because so many people have dropped dead with a stroke after taking this shot. There's a reason that we came up with a COVID vaccine ad that if they were honest, this is what they'd say.
Ready to say goodbye to the pandemic forever? Call your doctor or pharmacist today and make an appointment to get the COVID vaccine and watch the once-in-a-century pandemic become a thing of the past. You can make this nightmare into a history lesson with just a quick shot to the arm. The shot is painless and, best of all, will cost you nothing because the government pays for it. And considering there are little to no side effects, what do you have to lose? So don't delay. Call today and ask your doctor which COVID vaccine is best for you. Side effects include fever, nausea, pain, swelling, heart palpitations, rashes, facial paralysis, possible infertility, blood clots, comas, and occasional death. Long-term side effects are unknown because none of these vaccines are FDA approved. Taking the vaccine is absolutely no guarantee the pandemic will end because vaccinated people get COVID all the time. Since your tax dollars pay for the vaccine, it technically isn't free because the government gets their money from you.
Even with the director of the CDC Vaccine Task Force admitting that the CDC is and has long been aware, but been unwilling to talk about it before, of debilitating illnesses associated with what they call a vaccine that's not a vaccine. Kathy Hochul, the mayor of the governor of New York, she's still saying that God is on her side. Don't displease God. Go get the vaccine. These people are nuts. They're absolutely nuts. And you know what? You know what? There will still be people happy that they took the shot because they won't want to admit that they were wrong.
Welcome back. Our top story tonight, the new experimental COVID vaccine has hit the market and people are very excited. Here to give us some feedback on what it's like is one of the early stage test subjects. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us, how does it feel to be immune to the coronavirus?
Oh, it's great. I feel really good and I love living life knowing I can't get sick from COVID or spread it to my friends.
And what about the side effects? Have you experienced anything that you weren't expecting?
No, not really. Most of the time I feel great. I'm sleeping well and feel relaxed, which is really good. And I'm eating normally. Sometimes I get a little more hungry than usual, but it's okay. Other than that, there hasn't really been any side effects.
Okay, great. So you don't have any regrets?
No, I have no regrets. I'm really glad I took the drug. And I recommend everyone else do the same thing.
Okay, thanks again.
They're coming to take me away, haha. They're coming to take me away, ho ho, hee hee, haha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away.
We have lived through a national nightmare. Unlike Richard Nixon, this hit home. Every household in America was affected by it. You know, we here at the Michael Barrett Show believe that at the end of a long, hard week of work, a grown-ass man or a Lebesian woman ought to be able to pop top on a cold beer on the drive home. Well, here's to every single one of you who refused to take the clot shot. Michael, I took the shot, and you're saying that. No. That's on you. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to commend my fellow protesters, because I didn't take that stupid thing either. I had my concerns from the very beginning, and I knew I could survive COVID, as could 99.9% of people under the age of 85 and under the weight of 500 pounds. Sometimes you have to distrust your government.
We here at the Michael Barry Show believe that a grown-ass man or a lesbian woman should be able to pop a cold beer on the drive home on Friday.
Pretty good, drinking beer.
Today, Michael Barry program is brought to you by the letter R, as in right-wing, Republican, radio, wrong.
Oh, my apologies. I forgot to do our weekend review. And I didn't give out our phone number, Ramon reminds me, but we have a full board to call. So if you call in and it's busy, just keep trying. 713-999-1000. 713-999-1000. Get us started as we always do. Courtesy of the greatest executive producer in all the land, your weekend review. Oh, Chad Oconee nomination. Sorry, I forgot. I didn't mention his name. I was distracted. Well, I was trying to get it in quickly before we got to the calls. That was a time when country music reflected working class, not just values, but issues. And somewhere along the way now, it's all,
we gonna go down that dirt road, you gonna be in your blue jean britches in your truck with your name on the back, down to the river at the moonlight.
I don't know how I ended up on Free V. They kept promoting Luke Bryan, My Dirt Road Diary.
It's My Dirt Road Diary.
My God, Ellen DeGeneres is more manly than this dude.
When you think of illegal items confiscated by customs at the U.S. border, guns and drugs probably come to mind. But there's something else being seen in staggering numbers, eggs.
In South Texas alone, U.S. Border Patrol reports a 300% increase in raw eggs intercepted, with seizures ranging from 86 eggs at a time to nearly 350.
You can bring 10-year-old children in here to throw them into a sex trafficking ring. You can bring fentanyl in here to kill the high school and college kids. But by golly, you will not slip a couple dozen eggs through your bolsa across this border.
A come and take it battle at the Alamo. City Council will vote on whether to use eminent domain on a downtown bar.
Here comes the government again, trying to take property on the very site where we fought for Texas liberty and freedom. Why? So they can build a theater.
I'm not sure that their memory is best served by taking away Victor Ken Tooth Bar. Conway has so many songs that are just out-and-out panty droppers. I know some of you creep out when I tell you this, but your grandmother to this day, when she hears that, will still tell you, ooh, Conway. Uh-huh. Out-and-out panty droppers.
You want a man with the sword.
We got a lot of sweet little old ladies that are in their 80s and 90s right now going, you tell it, Czar, you tell it. Well, you good folks have waited long enough. Let's get to the phone line, 713-999-1000. Of course, you can email me through the website and sign up for our daily blast, michaelberryshow.com. Here we go. Piper, you are on the Michael Berry Show.
Hello. I was calling about a couple days ago. You had a show that was in regards to the security of the bars downtown. They're sleeping in the bars with their guns. And I have a security company that I use at my home, but they also do small business, and they have 24-hour live guards, and they are excellent. They are on it. They use an AI system that notices movement and then shoots it to a live guard who watches it, and if it is, in fact, a threat, they try to prevent it from happening. So they'll interact with whoever kind of addressed them, say, you know, these are security, and then they try to prevent the actual crime from happening. And so I think that it would be something that people would like to know about. It's not the only company I know that is doing that, as far as I'm aware.
I'm not sure I understood the context within which you brought this up. Could you say that again?
Okay, so a couple of days ago, you had the show was about the gentleman who was sleeping inside of his bar, and the homeless guy kept coming in and
having yes.
Okay, yeah, and so the company that I use in my house, they actually work a lot in San Francisco with small businesses, and they prevent crimes from these loitering homeless people that are everywhere. And so it's a company I found a couple years ago, and they do live surveillance with AI included in that. And then they're awesome. They do a really good job. And so it's a really reasonable price for a live agent 24 hours a day. And
well,
I think
what
it's
is a reasonable
people
price?
Who are having that problem.
What is a reasonable price?
Okay. So, I mean, I was grandfathered in because I came in at the beginning. So mine's a lot less than what it is now, but right now it's $100 a month for one camera. And then $50 a month after that. I mean, $50 a camera. I'm sorry. So, say you get three cameras, it would be $200
okay,
a month.
But the cameras don't stop the break-ins. All the bar owners in
the cameras
Houston,
don't stop. The, right. Right. The cameras don't stop the break-ins. So, what the cameras do is they send that, the AI sends it to the live agent who is monitoring that property. And as soon as they see a threat, they say, this is not going to help you. And then immediately, like, they're on to the criminal all the time, and so they can prevent it from happening. They have a live agent, and because they're all prior, military or prior police officers, they have relationships with the police. When they call, they know that there's an active crime going on, and so the response time is very quick. But they call for you, and it's pretty good. You can look them up. They're awesome.
No, that's interesting. I for those who are listening on the morning show earlier this week, I don't remember what day, we were talking about this rash of crimes in Houston, which, by the way, all the major cities in the country are experiencing it. And what led to this, this is the consequence of bad policies, is this whole bail reform that Kamala Harris was behind, that Biden was supporting, that Antifa wanted, that the criminal justice crowd wanted. This whole bail reform has been a bust. And the long and short of it, the simplified version is, which is no less accurate just because it's simplified, is you've got folks that are getting arrested, and instead of holding them until their trial date, they're cutting them loose immediately, including violent criminals. And when a guy beats the snot out of his woman, his baby mama, and she's bloodied when the cops get there and haul him away, and you immediately release him, and he's going back. And in many cases, he's going back to kill her. A guy that's out stealing cars all night or cutting catalytic converters and making lots of money doing it, when they arrest him and put him back out on the street, they're back in the neighborhood stealing again before the cop can get back to the neighborhood from processing. This is going on across the country. And so we had some bar owners on that were talking about the fact that they're literally sleeping inside their bars to protect their bars. Well, what's going to happen? The bad guy's going to come in and you're inside there and you tell him, get out. This is my bar. And he doesn't stop because he doesn't understand the concept of consequences because no one has imposed them upon him. And what's going to happen now is it's going to turn into a self-defense case. And the Black Panthers and Antifa and Black Lives Matter are going to jump to his defense. But the bar owner was left with no option. That's his livelihood. And this guy's breaking in there again and again and again. And eventually he's going to end up dead.
Celebrating the grown-ass working man and lesbian woman. More Friday Drive Home on the Michael Berry Show.
Are you in Gadsden, did they tell me?
Yes, indeed. I'm the Gadsden
on WAAX, Wax Radio, out of Gadsden, Alabama. All right. Go ahead, my man. Welcome back to the program.
Okay. Well, last night, 90 seconds to midnight. You know what that means, don't you, Laura?
I do.
No size restrictions and screw the limit.
I mean, if we're that close to the end, then just catch what you want. What are they going to do?
Oh, yeah. I figured you might catch the Far Side reference there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're not throwing anything back.
Oh, I'm telling you. By the way, that Reuben is a heck of a guy.
He is something else. He is something else.
By the way, I'm in lawyer limbo right now. I'm miles. Cousin that's handling my lawsuit in Selma, Alabama, where tornadoes might have taken out his office.
John, for people who don't remember you, we hadn't talked to you in quite some time. Could you just give the real quick recap? Because you were kind of a star of the show for a couple episodes there.
Well, thank you. My turn-ons include peach ice cream, turn-offs, dueling Democrats, and war.
Oh.
I called the police because I thought my landscapers, who were illegal, were on meth. And anyway, after a whole lot of drama, I drank half a beer and wound up going to jail for 13 days on a public intoxication charge.
You were drunk in public.
Actually, I was neither. I wasn't in public, and I wish I could catch a buzz off half a natural light.
But you didn't want to be drunk in public. You wanted to be drunk in a bar, but they threw you out in public.
Hell, right now, the way people are acting, I think I'd want to be drunk in a bunker somewhere underground. People are 57-year-old Asians are shooting one another. 72-year-old Asians.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Went to the Asian New Year's festival. Bunch of old people out dancing, and he goes in there and he's loaded for bear, and just starts unloading on people, and then goes back out. Gets to the van. He's got a backup vehicle. I guess he thought this he was going to go on the run for a while, and then he decides maybe the actual process bothered him more than he had expected it to, because then he takes his own life and does us all a favor because nobody wants to drag this thing out. That was, if you were to guess who the shooter was at an Asian New Year's festival of old people dancing that goes in and blasts the place up, if your bingo card said 72-year-old Asian dude mad at his ex-wife, you're probably the only one that'll claim that prize, because I don't think there were a lot of people expecting that one. John?
Yep.
The last time we had you, how long ago was that? It's been probably 2-3 years, isn't it?
September 1st of this last year.
That's it? It feels like it was longer ago than that. And so what have you done since? Have you been arrested or anything since then?
Oh, hell no. I've had cataract surgery on both eyes, which that was another thing I didn't mention. When I was arrested, I told them I was disabled, wound up losing my glasses, and I couldn't even see before then. Had cataract. And by the way, they use fentanyl in cataract surgery, I learned.
Huh. And did you get the cataracts fixed?
Right now I've got great vision at a distance. When you have the cataract surgery, I was always nearsighted, but it sort of reverses things.
Right.
Now that I've had the lens replaced, I can see great at a distance, but I can't see up close to read without a magnifying glass until I get the prescription glasses, which I need to go. Anyway, that's the next step when everything completely healed.
Did they do lens replacement?
Yep. Huh. Yes, indeed.
Well, that's the thing now. And so people are having lens replacement earlier in life because one of the things it avoids is cataracts. You won't have cataracts after that. They're having lens replacement, the multifocal, Technis, and I forget the other one. In fact, I've got a show sponsor in Houston, Dr. Witsit. And, he is busy from morning till the end of the day. He books months and months out because this surgery is so popular. And people want to have this surgery, and the results have been so good. I've known a lot of people to have it. A lot of our listeners have gone to him, and they just absolutely love the results of this surgery. That was a game changer. You know, you had LASIK for when you were young, but once you got older, they couldn't do anything about it. Well, now it's changed everything.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. All the things that I went through from August, this has been 5 months. I don't know whether getting my vision repaired is the blessing in all this, or if it might be the possibility of, a very good series of settlements from the city, county, jail, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So who paid for your surgery?
Oh, I'm on disability. I had to pay $300, I think, for each one, but insurance covered it.
So where does that $300 come from, John?
Oh, I'm on disability. I was an English teacher. Taught English at a university. So, I'm kind of a Renaissance redneck. I'm not just a pretty stoner. I'm on disability now.
I don't feel like you can call yourself a Renaissance redneck. That's kind of like calling yourself eclectic. It almost seems like somebody else has to call you that.
Well, yeah, of course. By the way, I just send you emails because I figure, hell, nobody else is going to read them anyway. Did you catch the one where I referenced carburetor cleaner?
I think
you might have remembered that.
I don't know. I get over 1,000 a day. Sometimes something will just have me absolutely in fits of laughter, and 3 days later I can't remember it because there's so many that come through.
Oh, well, this would just enhance the redneck, but this came under the funniest thing anyone's ever said to me on the phone initially.
And what was that?
Can I go ahead? Okay. They have a rather distinctive voice, so once I said hello, she knew that she had me on the phone, and she called me USOB. I had to clean my butt with carburetor cleaner. I'm not swearing there for radio, take something from that, but indelible markers all over.
I must admit, I've never heard that.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
On the Intelligence Committee, the cost is not only shattering the most precious glassware in the cabinet, a committee that's always been bipartisan. The costs are the death threats that Ms. Omar, myself, and Mr. Schiff keep getting because Mr. McCarthy continues to aim and project these smears against us. Even though we have said publicly these smears are bringing death threats, he continues to do it, which makes us believe that there's an intent behind it.
Democrats lie.
The death threats that Ms. Omar, myself, and Mr. Schiff keep getting.
Democrats lie.
I've served on the House Foreign Affairs Committee and the House Education and Labor Committee for the past two terms. Committees that I have lived experience and expertise in.
Experience.
As a child.
Aww.
Who survived war, lived in a refugee camp. I would have never imagined that I would one day have the opportunity to serve on a subcommittee on Africa, global health, and global human rights. I would not believe that I would one day not just serve, but on a committee that oversees Kevin McCarthy's purely partisan move to strip us from our committee.
Even though we have said publicly these smears are bringing death threats, he continues to do it, which makes us believe that there's an intent behind it.
Lived experience.
We are thankful to leader Jeff Ruiz and House Democrats.
Jeff Ruiz.
And even some courageous Republicans.
Jeff Ruiz.
For standing with us. If McCarthy wants to denigrate the integrity of the House and its committees, we will always stand up to these efforts. I am grateful for the confidence of my constituents and my colleagues have shown me to serve on these committees, and I look forward to doing that work.
Sean, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to run something by you real quick about geopolitics and see what you thought about it. They're predicting this year that Russia's oil is going to freeze, which is going to bust their pipes and their pumps because of the sanctions they put on them. And that's apparently why they're pushing into the Ukraine and trying to get up to Poland to get out of their permafrost area. And so if the Russian energy falls, they're predicting that the European, starting with Germany, it'll fall like dominoes. And then they're also, I've heard that China's not up to snuff to where they think they say they are. And Xi is being lied to about their temporary or their current positions. So if all these countries start to fall, that puts us, Poland, Turkey, and the UAE, of course, the homeland, Israel, in a good position. What do you think about it? Have you heard anything like that?
I stay pretty plugged in to world energy. I follow a guy named Alex Epstein who writes almost daily about the subject. Energy prices of all the commodities end up being, if not the most important, then certainly one of a couple. And in some ways, even more important than food stuffs as a commodity, because you can't move food stuffs, you can't heat it, you can't cook it. You can't process it without energy. And I don't think people quite understand what a precarious situation the world's energy supply is today. Europe is struggling. And what they are paying in Germany for oil today is a very, very big issue there. And people are hurting. And they are looking forward to getting out of this cold winter because of the incredible price to heat homes, businesses, public spaces, public transport there. And to bring it back to something, you talk about how avoidable it is. Trump lectured Germany in late 17, so the first year he was in office. And there is video of him at the United Nations lecturing the Germans that your dependence on Russia and this Nord Stream and this pipeline of available energy is you're putting yourself at the mercy of Putin, and that gives him a power. You have to diversify your energy source. And they have the plugs in their ears, and there's a camera on them, and the diplomats are literally laughing. They're laughing at old stupid Donald Trump. He doesn't know anything about manipulation of prices and gouging and the ability to have somebody by the short hairs when you can control their energy source. And that's exactly what has happened today. And that is the overlay. That is the real elephant in the room with the whole Russian-Ukrainian conflict is to the breadbasket, which is Ukraine, and the energy source, which is Russia. And that is why the rest of the world has such an interest in ending this conflict. And Putin understands that. And what Putin is trying to do, in my opinion, is find an off-ramp for himself to save face and to exit this conflict. But he's not going to do that until he extracts the promises that he wants. And Putin had been threatening this for a very long time. Trump was aware of that, and international diplomacy was underpinned by this fear that if Putin ever actually pulled the trigger, but they didn't believe he would do it. And when he did, it set off a spiral. And you can go back to all the problems that go into this. I am not for sending every dollar we have to the Ukrainians so that Zelensky and his upper tier of inside dealers can get rich. But by the same token, they shouldn't have been in the weak position they are. But that was by our demand that they denuclearize, that they give up a lot of their ability to defend themselves years ago. And when they did that, they signed their own death warrant. That's what happened. And they should have entered NATO years ago because NATO is hiding behind their lack of membership in NATO because Putin has been, this has been a game of chicken for a very long time, a very long time. And what you talk about is just the latest wrinkle in a very, very complicated, nuanced, and truthfully frightening potential disaster that could come up.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if every grown-ass man and lesbian woman popped the top on the drive home? You bet it would. It's the Friday Drive Home on the Michael Berry Show.
Hoping you're having a happy Friday. Girl, do you remember Duplicia Champagne? Okay, she now have transfigured everything backwards. She on Medicaid and Obamacare, but mainly she claims she's this dry tentacle with a tentacle of bicentennial or something like that, and she need her a special check wrote out on there for all these things. And I feel like, you know, why not give it to her, honey? It is reparation. I'm asking people, name your own price. It's like Priceline. If that woman wants all that to pay her freedom, well, go ahead on. You know, and the rest of us, like Sheila Jackson Lee, who was brought here in shackles, bless her God-loving heart, and Maxiqua Rogers, is that her name? Oh, God love her. She's like one carotid heartbeat from a stroke. She's like Micah Berry. You know, I feel like Micah Berry should reach out and touch that woman and help her out with her stroke prevention therapy. How you doing?
Henry in Nashville listening on WLAC. You're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
I was a kid, 19 years old, fearful of the draft a little bit. I was a college student at Indiana University. I went to play a summer jazz gig at Petoskey, Michigan. An old man who was named Max wore a bow tie, suspenders, and a starched shirt. He took me aside one day and said, "Son, you think I'm just an old bartender?" I said, "Well, I hadn't thought about it one way or the other." He said, "Let me show you something." He took his wallet out, showed me his piece of paper that had his investments he had made all his life in Goodrich and Goodyear. Huh. He told me war is good for America. And see, I'm fearful of Vietnam. I had lost a neighbor to Vietnam, a boy that was an older student who got killed by friendly fire, and I didn't understand that happened. So he told me war was good for America. It keeps the economy going, and showed me his, like I said, his investments in Goodrich and Goodyear. And I said, "What's the raw product we invest? Young American African men and young American white men?" And he had no answer, just a baffled look.
It's true. A lot of Hispanics went to Vietnam as well, though. And if you look at the, today, the number of Hispanics is very, very popular, particularly in the Army and Marines.
I called you 2 years ago when I was reading the book Tecumseh, and I was disgusted with William Henry Harrison.
Yep.
He was a proprietor of a war machine, and I'm 74 years old this month, and I've served my country in other ways. I never missed a chance to vote, and I raised 4 fine young men to contribute to society, and a couple of them went through some knucklehead 8 times, but I'm a big fan of your show. I'm old enough to be your dad, and my son will turn 51. My oldest turns 51 this year, so I appreciate you very much.
Well, thank you, Henry. What do you do in Nashville?
I'm a retired Grand Ole Opry musician and studio musician and drum teacher. And I now just do whatever I want. I just finished 2 years playing at an African-American church. I'm going to get my weekends back so I don't have to be up every Sunday morning there, you know, and spend a little more time with my beautiful girlfriend who lives in Southern Ohio.
Oh, good for you. So, good for you. It's always.
And I have a disabled granddaughter.
Oh, is that right?
A disabled granddaughter who has. She goes to Tennessee School for the Blind. She had a surgery that went bad when she was 14 months old. She, too, is the happiest person I know. She's 14 now, and she will need lifetime care. But she has been a motivation for my son, who works at a big trucking company as a junior executive. When he gets a bonus, he buys a piece of property, and he's going to set it up for her little sister to be doing well in real estate so she can take care of her older sister when he's dead and gone. So but, that's our family story.
What a great story.
My girl is, you've heard me before. If you've ever walked through a mall or been on an airplane or at a grocery store,
You've heard my drumming, probably. So
tell me something you drummed on that I would immediately know.
Wildfire by Michael Murphy.
How about that? We are actually trying to get Michael Martin Murphy on the air right now. We've been for 2 weeks. He wants to be on the show, and his booker keeps. I wonder about these guys. They keep finding some reason they can't do this time and they can't do that time, and then by the time they get back with the time they can, we've already booked something else. But I love him, the Cosmic Cowboy. How about that? Wildfire's a song now.
Yep. We did Carolina of the Pines, Wildfire, and Cherokee Fiddle at Caribou Ranch in the Netherland, Colorado. It was the best 5 years of my life, and after that, Cherokee I ended up working fiddle. For Gary Moore.
Oh, wow, Gary Morse.
Gary Morse.
Gary Morse, what a great voice. He did a couple shows for us at the RCC, and after the show, he stayed around, and we always closed every night with Amazing Grace. And, boy, did he do one of the most beautiful versions of Amazing Grace in 8 years of being open. His was in the top three, I'll tell you that. And I can't even think of anyone who was even better. There was a band that played Amazing Grace to the tune of House of the Rising Sun that kind of caught our attention. They had been working on that for a couple months before, and that one really caught our attention. But Gary Morris may have been the most beautiful version of Amazing Grace. He still had such a good, it's about 2015, 2016. He still had such a pretty rich voice, which, of course, as you know, he was famous for that voice. He had a heck of a voice. Huh. You know, he was, if y'all noticed, he made a reference to that he had a granddaughter who was disabled on the morning show today. I was telling a story, and I said I didn't know where to put it. I got emails all afternoon. This woman said that there's a guy who's crippled, disabled, retarded, whatever term you want to use. The words don't matter. People get so hung up on the words. And he works at the Walmart. And that she goes to, and he's the one who puts the carts back. And, you know, a lot of these stores will hire somebody to work the parking lot like that, and you will see the pride they have in the job they do. And that's what we were talking about. Ramon wants me to play that segment again because we got so much interest from it. I really don't know what the takeaway is from the whole thing. But I guess we will play those two segments from this morning, and I'll get about 20 emails from people saying, you're playing the same thing from this morning. Yeah, well, turn it up. Turn it off, you old grump. You can get your money back if you want. It was something that seemed to really hit a nerve, and I want our evening audience to hear it as well. I really don't know what to make of my observation on it. Maybe you can help me with that.
This is a stir of success. Brought up in Orange, Texas, broke-ass poor. Scholarship his way to 2 law degrees, including one from Her Majesty the Queen of England. Elected 3 or 4 times, a lawyer, a husband, a father, but most of all, an ignorant ass. Fasten your seatbelt. Pop your coat when you get ready for more of Mr. Michael Berry, honey.
Going to Carolina, taking that hard rough road. I'm gonna circle the river of Jordan, 'cause I just wanna see where it flows. Yeah, 21 days on the road, wondering where we're gonna go from here.
put this little nugget. It doesn't fit nicely into the beginning of a show. And maybe not necessarily at the end. If you're on hold, just hang tight. 713-999-1000. But I had dinner last night with my best friend, Jerry McGill, at Cafe Paquette, our favorite little Cuban joint. And that's where we would usually gather to catch up on what's going on with his business and his family and the show and my family. And so we are eating away, and he said, and we were talking about people in the food service business. And Jerry does, he's known as Dr. Drinks. He does custom mixes for bars and restaurants. They're pina colada and all that. And he sends them their mix, but he creates a special mix. If you drink the pina colada at San Luis in Galveston, that's not the same pina colada you'll drink at the Holiday Inn next door, even though Tillman owns both of them. That's a unique to that particular bar pina colada. And some people don't notice those things, but some people do. You'll go to a certain bar for a particular drink that they have that no one else has, and there's a reason, because they make sure that no one else has it. It's custom built for them. Anyway, so we were talking about hospitality industry and different people. And he said, I got to tell you what happened to me today. I drove through a Chick-fil-A, and I'm not sure which one it was. Doesn't matter. He said, I pull up, and Chick-fil-A has the most amazing drive-through service, the way they put the people out there and iPads. You think about how many people were in the food service business for so long and the fast food and never figured out how to do what Chick-fil-A managed to do. And he said, I pull up on the guy and I'm fidgeting around in my truck. I'm not paying attention. And I pull right up on him. He comes up to my door. And he says, he's got his little iPad and he's ready to take my order. And I look down and it kind of startled me. He said he has Down syndrome. And he thought, oh, wow, this is going to be interesting. So the guy asks him, you know, what can I get you? As polite as he could possibly be, as kind, as solicitous as he could possibly be. And so Jerry gives him his order. I don't know what the order was, but he had kind of one of those When Harry Met Sally deals where, you know, put the pickles over here and and the reason was because he had picked up lunch for him and his wife. Jerry will eat anything. But his wife wanted, Renee wanted, you know, I want this on the side. And he said, I give this guy the most complicated order. And I'm thinking there's no way he's going to get it right. But I don't feel like, I feel bad already. And so I'm not going to correct him. She's going to have to take whatever she gets and I'll bring it back to the office and I'll explain. And he said, but. And he looks up and he said, sir, can I repeat your order? And he said, danged if he didn't get it right. They never, ever get it right. And he said, you know, I think it was taxing his full intellectual capacity to get that order right. And he was throwing everything he had at it. And he said, I swear, when I was done with the order, I rolled my window up and I got a tear in my eye. Because I thought, how many people have this job and they half-ass it? They don't care one bit. And we were talking about that guy. He's standing out. He's dealing with the public all day long. You think how mean people can be. You think how mean young people can be. Think if there's two high school students. How many times a day does somebody say something that just destroys that guy? And it might have happened the car in front of him. And he plugs on ahead. And so we were talking about, he said, it reminds me of your Target story a few years ago. And some of you have heard the story, but I was at the Target right next to our station on San Felipe. And at the tracks there, it's kind of like the River Oaks Target. It's right there at 610 San Felipe. And I go in the middle of the afternoon when there's nobody at the shops except for hot women in yoga pants, because nobody shops at that time. Most people shop when they get off from work. And so all the River Oaks moms with their cute little ponytails coming through their ball cap and their yoga pants and tennis shoes, it's adorable. And I go up and ask for something, and whatever it was, water pick for my wife, whatever the thing was, it wasn't something it was obvious to find. And I walk up on the guy, and I'm behind him when I ask. And so I just see the back of his head. And I said, excuse me, sir, can I ask you where? And he turns around, and he's got these huge hearing aids in his ears. And I stop, like, oh, I can't ask him this. He can't hear me. And he gives me this look, like, carry on. And so I ask him, you know, where this particular item is. And I was immediately regretting having asked him where this damn thing was and thinking, why didn't you just go find it yourself? But I'm the guy, if you've ever seen this guy, I'm the guy that walks in. I don't go looking. I'm like, hey, what aisle can I find this? Just, y'all have nothing else going on. Can you just point me to the aisle? And even better, can you walk me there? Anyway, there's more to the story, but I'm up against it.
Southern Pride, Southern Pride. Michael Berry. Late one morning, I just packed my things, burned all my bills, and I hopped on a plane. I told the cops and the bankers goodbye. They said, don't let us catch you, you owe us your life. Well, the plane was headed east, and so I was bound for Tennessee to outrun the fuss. They found me in a day or two, and now I'm flat busted in jail, fighting the Nashville blues. I like George Jones, Willie and Will, and I think Chris and Merle's songwriting saviors. Towns Van Zandt, well, he died too soon, but now he's up there with Hank, and they're both fighting the Nashville blues.
So I walk up on this guy, and I only see him from behind. He's got a big head of blonde, wavy hair. Looks like he's probably late 20s. Nothing else sticks out. I don't notice anything. And I'm in my own little world anyway. I'm looking to pick something up for my wife and get in and get out. I'm not a shopper. So I walk down the aisle where he has his back to me and turn to the side, and he's stocking at the Target there on San Felipe at 610. And as I'm walking up on him, I says, excuse me, sir, can you tell me where the, I'll say water pick, I don't know what it was, is, where they keep the water picks. And he kind of turns and he looks at me, and it's clear he probably doesn't speak because he obviously can't hear. You can see these things in his ears, and he has this look on his face, or he can't hear well, because he does actually hear me. That comes through in a minute. And then I said, never mind. And I put my hand out like, I'm sorry. And he says, he kind of, when you can't hear, you can't talk. Rush used to talk about how he stopped doing impersonations when he lost his hearing. And if it hadn't been for that, was it Envoy system that gave him his hearing back, that plugged directly into his brain? He was one of the first people to have that. And but for that, he would have lost, he wouldn't have been able to do his job. Wouldn't have been able to, because if you can't hear, you can't talk. So anyway, so the guy is trying to get out that, no, let's, and say, no, no, no. And so I'm following behind him, but he doesn't know where it is. So he goes to get his supervisor. His supervisor also doesn't speak. but he's trying desperately to help me, to ask me a question to help me clarify where it goes. And it sounds something like, and I can't really understand what he's saying. And all I'm thinking is, why did I bother these guys? They're doing their jobs. It's commendable they're doing it. And then he kind of snaps his finger and he realizes, I know what he wants and I know where it is. So he starts leading me around the corner and he takes me right to it and he points to it. And he has a look on his face of sheer happiness that he has been able to help me. And I said, that's it. Gosh, thank you. Wow. I'm so excited. So we have this little moment and he's excited and I'm excited. And at about this time, there is a woman coming down the aisle and she does the same thing I did. She asks for whatever item and he goes into the same thing and he makes this sort of sound. And she pitches an absolute fit. Oh, oh, so you can't even help me. Well, then we start walking back and the guy who's his supervisor, I'm not sure these people are Target employees. I think that Target outsources to something like Brookdale or one of these services, which, by the way, is a pretty cool deal. I'll have my criticisms for Target, but the fact that they are giving work to adults with diminished capacity in whatever form, they can't speak, they can't hear, I think that's pretty cool. And I don't know what they pay them. I don't know what the program is. I don't know if there's a tax benefit, a government benefit. I don't know if somebody said, you know what, we're going to take the hit. It doesn't matter. It's an extra bit of work, but we're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. Maybe somebody had an adult, had a child who is an adult with diminished capacity. It doesn't matter what word you use. You can say disabled. You can say retarded. You can say mute, dumb, deaf. It doesn't. The words don't matter. People think that matters. It doesn't. We were able to save the school for the retarded on Allen Parkway when I was on city council. It was one of the things I was most proud of. They were trying to sell off that piece of property, but that property had been there for decades. And those people, that was their home. And we were able to save it. And I took such pride in making such an ass of myself that the mayor at the time finally gave up because I was really making an issue of this thing. And I don't really know where to put all of that. But it got me to thinking, and I have said this before. Some of you have heard me say this. So my mother's sister, Gail, what got me thinking about this before Jerry said it was that 2 days ago, we went in, see my parents. And while we're going, my mom calls my Aunt Gail, and she's in an assisted living center. And my Aunt Gail weighs maybe 70 pounds. She is so tiny and always has been. She drags her leg. She drags her arm. And she is the single happiest person you've ever met. She stopped developing past about the age of 4. But she wanted to tell us how she had won bingo at the center with the 90-year-old women. She had won 3 times that day. And guess what she got? She got to pick her prize. And you know what she picked? 2 bags of Cheetos. But she was going to save them for tomorrow. She wasn't going to eat them for today. And I guess the only takeaway I have from that story is 2 things. You don't realize how many people you cross in the course of a day who go home and care for somebody or have a brother, sister, mother, well, not brother, sister, son or daughter who they care for, who is an adult of, and that's an all consuming deal. It is overwhelming how much time and energy and capacity it takes out of you. But it also makes you think to yourself, my Aunt Gail is honest to goodness happier than 99.999% of people. I can't think of anyone I know who's happier than her. Because everything in our lives that we are able to do because we are full-bodied, full intellectual capacity is causing us stress, anxiety, unhappiness, and worry. And she has none of that. She sits and reads about Dolly Parton's birthday and tells me, you know, Dolly Parton, you know, she just turned, whatever it is, 75. I did, Gail. Did you ever meet her? Or I'll have to lie and say yes. That's so interesting.
If you like the Michael Berry Show and podcast, please tell one friend. And if you're so inclined, write a nice review of our podcast. Comments, suggestions, questions, and interest in being a corporate sponsor and partner can be communicated directly to the show at our email address, michael@michaelberryshow.com, or simply by clicking on our website, michaelberryshow.com. The Michael Berry Show and podcast is produced by Ramon Robles, the King of Ding. Executive producer is Chad Nakanishi. Brad Gloria is the Baron of Booking for guests and provides voices. Jim Mudd is the creative director. Script writer, parody producer, and Lord of Laughter is Kenny Webster Jr., a.k.a. Producer Kenny. Voices, jingles, tomfoolery, and shenanigans are provided by Chance McLean. Director of Research is Sandy Peterson. Listener and superfan contributions are appreciated and often incorporated into our production. Where possible, we give credit. Where not, we take all the credit for ourselves. God bless the memory of Rush Limbaugh. Long live Elvis. Be a simple man, like Lynyrd Skynyrd told you, and God bless America. Finally, if you know a veteran suffering from PTSD, call Camp Hope at 877-717-PTSD, and a combat veteran will answer the phone to provide free counseling.